Well, regular listeners will often hear the fleeting announcement about Read to Grow on our program, but now it's time to expand on that. We're so pleased to be able to have with us this morning the executive director of Read to Grow, Susanna Holzenbeck, is with us, and we will talk a lot about what's going on with Read to Grow, especially some fantastic new news about their newborn literacy project. We will be with you in just a moment right after these words. Connecticut-based AmeriCares wants you to know that more than one-third of the world's population lacks adequate access to medicines. You can help. They deliver donated medicine to a trusted network of local partners around the world. And every $1 you give can provide $20 in aid to people affected by poverty or disaster around the world and here in the United States. Your gift today can make a life-saving impact to millions around the world. If you want to be part of the solution or learn more, just visit AmeriCares.org. We want to remind you once again that Westport Pride is inviting allies and supporters to march with them at 9 a.m. on May 27th in the Westport Memorial Day Parade. That's tomorrow. Until the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, thousands of LGBTQ plus individuals gave their lives in silence serving our country. So come celebrate their dedication to shared values and stand with Westport Pride for the first time ever in Westport's history to remember their fallen LGBTQ plus heroes. Or you can plan to be at the organization's Westport Pride celebration taking place on June 2nd from 12 to 4 p.m. on Jessup Green. You can get all the details on this and other Pride Month activities by visiting westportpride.org. All right. Well, we're back. And thank you, Susanna Holzenbeck. Great to have you. Thank you for joining us. We've been, you know, probably every two or three weeks, we're getting some email or outreach from Read to Grow. You guys yourselves have grown as an organization tremendously over the past decade or so. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to the organization, and what you guys do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to be able to talk about Read to Grow and this good work that we do. I joined the organization in January of 2020, so 2 months before the world changed for everybody, and have had the privilege and the honor of leading the organization through the last several years, through COVID, and now into a post-COVID time. And, you know, Read to Grow actually started 24 years ago. In 2025, we'll celebrate 25 years of Read to Grow in Connecticut. And Read to Grow started with a group of really committed women who learned the troubling statistic that not all children have books of their own at home. And they said, how can we change this? How can we change this? And they decided to start in the hospital and give every baby born their first book. And so they literally walked around the maternity floor at Yale New Haven Hospital and giving out copies of books to new parents. And that was, you know, 24 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now we are in 15 hospitals. As of last week, we just added our 15th hospital partner, Hospital of Central Connecticut in New Britain. So every baby born in those 15 hospitals gets our Welcome to the World book. It's a board book. Mm. And I actually got the book twice when I had my two children. I have young children. They're six and eight. So pretty recently, I had the experience even before I started working at Read to Grow. Wow. I was in the hospital, got the visit from the volunteer at the time. You know, pre-COVID, there were many volunteers from Read to Grow who go and meet with families, and got the books. And for my first son, the Welcome to the World book was one of his favorite books when he was two. He requested it every night. And for families who do this reading, you know, you sit down, your child gets to choose the book, and there's a lot of the same books that they pick over and over and over again. Sure. and Welcome to the World was one of his books, and it's well loved. It's, you know, if I showed you my copy, you'd see the teeth marks from, you know, cutting their teeth. And this was before I even started working here. So I have that personal experience of really knowing what it's like to receive the love and the care of someone saying, hey, you know, here's a gift for you and your family to really share this joy of reading. Even when your baby is a newborn.
Yeah, I bet you talk to a lot of people now that you're with Read to Grow who have a shared experience in that the book that they got from Read to Grow in the maternity ward hours or days after the birth of their children kind of become keepsakes.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, we have families that share with us, you know, 5, 10, 15 years later, we actually just had a family, a teenager, who 15 years ago got our book at one of the hospitals in Connecticut, and she decided to do a book drive for us. And that's how she found out about us, you know, was when she was a newborn, her family got the book, and they stayed in touch with all that we do, and they ran a book drive for us. So they visited our warehouse last week, and you know, the mom still has, at that time, I think it was Baby's Day, which was a book that we used to distribute to newborns by Nancy Wallace. And she still has that book. And we hear that from lots of families, that they keep those books for their children for, you know, as you said, as keepsakes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the effort to promote literacy by giving a book in the delivery room to every child at all the hospital partnerships that you guys have developed over the years is great, but sustaining literacy, that's the heavy lift. How do you guys try to maintain engagement with families that you impress and meet in the delivery room to ensure or to at least support the hope that that child will go on to read many hundreds or thousands of books after the first one they got from Read to Grow?
I love this question so much because it really does acknowledge that it's a sustained effort. It's not just a one-time interaction that will, you know, make the big difference. It's the one-time interaction that may inspire someone, but then you have to keep going with resources and information. And so what Read to Grow does is we recognize, you know, first of all, getting the book in the hospital, some people realize that they've gotten a book, and many people don't even realize that they've gotten this resource. And so we make sure that we are messaging families in a variety of ways. So about 8 years ago, we actually launched our prenatal project, and that is in partnership with community health clinics around the state. So the prenatal literacy project actually starts even before baby is born. And so with our healthcare partners, we create the materials and gather the books and train the healthcare providers, our partners, and then they deliver the books and the information to the families that they are serving. So when a pregnant mom goes in to for her wellness checkup, she also gets a book from Read to Grow and the messaging about you can actually read to your belly even before baby comes into this world. Mm-hmm. Start reading to your belly, establishing that routine. If you already have children in the home, you know, having them read to your belly, join you for story time, other adults sharing books with so they can start to, you know, in utero, babies can start hearing at 23 weeks, and so they can hear you, you know, sharing your voice. And so that's two touch points potentially for a family as they're gearing up to have baby. And then they go on and have the baby in the hospital. They get our book, our Welcome to the World book, and then they have an opportunity to sign up to get more books from us at 3 months and a year in their baby's first year of life. And we mail those home to them. And right now they have an option of choosing books in English or books that are bilingual in Spanish and English. You know, we recognize that there are families that speak many other languages in Connecticut, but for now those are the languages we provide. And so families who sign up for that, again, it's at no cost to families. And it doesn't matter where you live in Connecticut, what zip code you're from, what your income is. This is a program for everybody. We want all children to have books. And so we'll mail the book and we'll mail more information to families about, you know, developmentally, where is your baby right now? What sorts of things are appropriate to do with your child around literacy? You know, letting them chew on the book, letting them flip through the pages, even if the book's upside down, it's, you know, becoming familiar with books. Having that sort of joyful interaction with books is so critical to, you know, developing a love of story time and books as the child grows older. Yeah. And so I'll give you one statistic. You had asked about, you know, how does this impact families? And what we find is if a family enrolls in the first year program and gets those the books at 3 months and a year, they have the option to fill out a survey. You know, they can fill out the survey or not. We'll still send them the books. But if they do fill out the survey, we collect that information. And one of the questions we ask is, how often are you reading to your infant? And there's a report called the State of Babies Report put out by 0 to 3. And for Connecticut, you know, the statewide average is about 48% of families report reading daily to their young children. Read to Grow families, it's around 74% of families report reading daily. So exciting to know that, you know, simple interventions like this really can make a difference.
Yeah. And honestly, Susanna, statistics like that are what inspire passionate volunteerism and partnerships, and both of those, without both of those, Read to Grow wouldn't be able to do what it does. Before we get into to talking about the big news, this brand new newborn literacy project, let's talk a little bit about the volunteers that come to Read to Grow, including folks who gave you your first two Read to Grow books after your children were born, and the partnerships that are vital to the sustainability of the organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Read to Grow is really lucky. We have a deep cohort of really committed volunteers who show up regularly here at our warehouse, in our office space, to help us create all of those literacy packets that go out. You know, we get out more than 120,000 books a year and about 35,000 literacy packets a year through the Just the Books for Babies program. And so we need help putting those packets together. And so we have a fabulous group of committed volunteers who show up to put those packets together. And then we also have folks who come to the office to help us with data entry, right? The back end of all of this that makes it work. And then we have folks out in the community. We have ambassadors for Read to Grow who are, you know, in some of the hospitals. Not all of the hospitals allow volunteers to be on the floor.
Yep,
sort of depends on the hospital system.
Sure.
But some hospitals do. And so we have volunteers at those hospitals who go in and briefly meet with families. We know that it's a busy time and there's a lot of interruptions in the hospital, but the volunteer is really there to just make sure they know they've got that book and they can sign up to get more books and to encourage them to share that joy with their newborn. So that's sort of the framework for our volunteers. If folks are interested in volunteering with Read to Grow, they can go onto our website, readtogrow.org, and there is a button, you know, how to help, and volunteering is one of them. But we also need people to, you know, run book drives for us. We get out books for our Books for Kids program, and we need folks, even if you can't come every week, to help us make literacy packets, but you could commit to, you know, running a book drive for us or donating books to us just from your own children's book collection, or connecting with a publisher to get a donation of new children's books to give to us. That is so helpful to us because it's hard for us to keep up with the demand, honestly.
Sure.
So you know, doing those sort of one-off book drives for us are tremendously helpful.
Folks want to learn more about that, they could just go to readtogrow.org to get started and to learn how to get engaged. I don't want to squeeze the time here, but you do have a couple of also, besides the hospitals that that let you in or let you access their maternity candidates and patients. Who are a couple of the other major partners that you deal with who help make the organization so successful?
Yes, absolutely. So we work with over 200 different community organizations across Connecticut. We are statewide, and we have roots in every county across Connecticut in a variety of ways, whether it's the hospital program with the newborns, whether it's our prenatal project with different community health clinics. And then we've got our Books for Kids program. So any agency that's serving young children in Connecticut can request books from us, and we will try our best to get them what they need. And then we've got our bookmobile that goes out. And, you know, we go everywhere with our bookmobile. Wherever there are children that need books, we try to make it out there to stop, and children can get on that bookmobile and get our books. And that looks like partnering with food banks. That looks like partnering with domestic violence organizations serving families in crisis. That looks like going to, you know, preschools and elementary schools in different neighborhoods across the state. It also looks like going to community events. Our bookmobile is heading out to Naugatuck today for a bookmobile stop, despite the rain. We try to find the community partners that are doing the good work in the community and help them to do their work.
Excellent.
In partnership.
So before we let you go, the big news, the Newborn Literacy Project is the latest headlines Read to Grow is making. In a nutshell, Susanna, what is the Newborn Literacy Project?
Yeah, so the Newborn Literacy Project is, that's the project that's in the hospitals with the books going out to newborns. And there are 8 hospitals left in Connecticut that we are working on partnering with. We are currently partnered with 15. We have 8 more to go, and then we will reach every baby born in Connecticut. And so we are, thankfully, we got some state funding in the last budget, and that helped us launch this effort to really reach all newborns across the state. But we need help. We need help to sustain it. It's one thing to launch it. It's a whole other thing to sustain it. I'm actually traveling down to Bridgeport today to a launch of our NICU project. That's where we give books to babies in the NICU. Yeah. And we are launching at St. Vincent's Hospital in Bridgeport. And so we are growing and expanding, and we're doing that deliberately. So that we can reach all corners of the state.
All right. Well, if you're somebody who realizes and supports the importance of reading and literacy, Read to Grow would love to have you among its allies. If you'd like to learn more about how to volunteer, how to participate, how to host the book drive or the bookmobile for that matter, or to donate to make sure this organization can keep up with the demand for books. It's wonderful to hear that there is almost more demand for books than there are books available, at least through Read to Grow channels at this point. So that's just a testament to what a great job they do. Celebrating 25 years next year, Read to Grow is promoting language skills and literacy for children beginning at birth and to support and supporting parents as their baby's first teachers, just like our guest was twice with Read to Grow. Susanna Holzenbeck is now the executive director of Read to Grow Connecticut. ReadToGrow.org is the website to go to learn about it, to find out about volunteerism, or to support the organization. Susanna, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.